Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Glad you're spending some time with us today. The book, Your Food Crusader, Edwin Lamont Fremont Ladd, chemist, 1859 to 1925, The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People, by Dr. Culver S. Ladd, traces the role of a leading figure in the movement to protect and regulate America's food supply. This historical work serves as a reminder that all aspects of the farming and food industry must be approached with human life as the first concern. The author, Dr. Culver S. Ladd, is the grandson of Edwin Fremont Ladd, a native of North Dakota, a retired educator currently residing in Maryland. Dr. Ladd is a graduate of the University of Maryland. He holds two master's degrees from American University in Public Administration and Political Science. He earned his doctoral degree in the field of international relations. He serves on the board of the Chesapeake Ranch Water Company, a member of the National Capital Area Political Science Association. Dr. Culver S. Ladd, author of Pure Food Crusader, Edwin Fremont Ladd, chemist, 1859 to 1925, The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People, and he's our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Ladd, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation and for the program.
Well, this is an amazing story of your grandfather and really a leading figure in the movement to protect and regulate America's food supply done a number of years ago, and I'm anxious to get your perspective on the work he did then and how it's impacting our lives now. But let's first go back. Tell us a little bit about your grandfather. He was raised on a farm. Talk about his background and where this interest in chemistry began for him, and then taking that knowledge and applying it to our food supply.
Well, Edwin Fremont Ladd was raised in Stark, Maine. And Stark was a very important city a few generations earlier than that, because that's where the boys that fought at battle at Saratoga were led by General Stark. And when they beat the British coming down from Canada, then they moved back and settled at the community called Starks. He went to school there and went on to at the University of Maine at Orono. He got his degree in chemistry there, went on to Cornell and applied for a master's degree. But it wasn't long before the lead chemist said, why don't you join me at the laboratory at Geneva? So he went to Geneva at the top of the Finger Lakes, and he began his work there. He was hired before the end of the first semester as an assistant chemist. So Babcock wanted someone who knew what he was doing, and obviously Edwin Fremont Ladd did know that. He wrote a good many papers that are on file at that, even at that site today. And they worked together, and Babcock, who was the chief chemist for Cornell, then left. He went to Wisconsin, and my grandfather, with a bachelor's degree, became chief chemist of New York State. When North Dakota was becoming a state in 1890, Babcock recommended Edwin Fremont Ladd as their chemist. And so he accepted that job, went to Fargo, North Dakota, and began the work which ultimately created North Dakota State University, which is at Fargo today. And he was the chemist. There were only two of them in the beginning. He was one of the two. And they did very basic work. He was the representative of the Department of Agriculture as the resident chemist in North Dakota as well. Very important position, because then he worked with Harvey Wiley, who was in Washington, and they were very importantly focusing on food as it was then being marketed. You must go back and remember this was 1890s.
Yes.
And at that time, there was no effective trucks. Food was put on flat cars of trains, and if there wasn't enough fish, for instance, they'd wait the next day and bring another load on, and then they'd use some salts to keep it from deteriorating, and then they'd put some more layers on, and eventually they ship it off to the cannery. When I got to the cannery, the only method in 1890s was a hand pump for water. They never, ever effectively washed off those chemicals that were put on as preservatives. And much of that was going into the canning process. Now, this was all across canning, and that canning was fairly important in the late 19th century. And he was focusing because whether it was vegetables or whether it was fruit or whether it was fish, as I say, they were going into the cannery without any effective water system. They were just hand pumps, and that was not washing off those chemicals. And that was the thing he focused on, because that was going into the stomachs of people who ate.
Which is just amazing, the lack of any regulations. But when you think back, refrigeration, all of this transportation, as you mentioned, all of this was in a totally different perspective or time back then. The book is Pure Food Crusader, Edwin Fremont Ladd, Chemist, 1859-1925, The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People. Let's talk specifically about some of the things that your grandfather did. I know he regularly purchased canned goods, analyzed them in his laboratory, and people were shocked to find out what he came about or what he found out as a chemist. People had no idea what was going into their food, did they?
No, that's exactly the point. He would bring shipments would come into North Dakota, into Fargo, from the east, canners. And he would open a can and inspect it, and he turned out repeated instances, vegetables, fruits, meats, that had chemicals in them because they had never been washed off. And that was what was getting into the stomachs and causing much trouble. Children were dying because some of the chemicals in candy was killing them. So there was a real issue here, and he was focusing on that, and he began to publish reports, which are on file in the Department of Agriculture Library today. And you can see where he spotted various saccharin, various elements in there, salicylic acid, much of the acids that were used to protect deteriorating foods. And that this began to change the whole interest, because he considered North Dakota as being a dumping ground for foods. And he stopped that. Believe me, he fought, and so there were people who said, well, we've got to do something about this, North Dakota. He's sending all these cans back, and so we got to have a federal law. So he was one of the forces that moved. The book The Jungle came out about the same time. Roosevelt read that. So when Congress finally enacted a law, a pure food law, Roosevelt signed it because of the book The Jungle and the test and the record of Edwin Ladd's record in chemistry on food products and their deleterious effect on life.
You know, so, you mentioned the book The Jungle, and that was by Upton Sinclair, and that captured the attention and of a nation, and they're like, wait a minute, is this really happening? Side by side with Upton Sinclair was your grandfather, wasn't he? He was with him in pushing this legislation and making food better for everybody.
Precisely. He really was the force that brought this out more than any other. Maybe there were a few fellows down in Kentucky who were doing some of the work too, because there was a committee, and he was president, chairman of the committee on food legislation. So, there were several people working, but his work was really the outstanding work that got a lot of publicity and really is the force that turned the nation toward pure food and careful the Pure Food Drug Act. And then now we have FDA, Food Drug Administration. All of these things are really the work that began in 1900 up to 1905. Then 1906, the act was passed. The first city to have running water so you could wash these chemicals off was Philadelphia in 1908. And then later, there were other cities. New York came along finally by 1914. Wilbur Wright died of typhus in New York City. And then they began to get their wells straightened out, and the water comes into New York now, and it's good and safe. But it was a very tough era where people just didn't have clean water and sanitation, and that is fundamental for life.
It all comes out in the book Pure Food Crusader. We're talking the life of Edwin Fremont Ladd with us on the program, his grandson and the author, Dr. Culver S. Ladd. He found such things as formaldehyde and borax being used as preservatives. Talk about that, not specifically necessarily, but what he found was being used. It's not like you picked up a label on something and looked and saw the ingredients. Of course, there were no labels with information on that at the time. But this was shocking to find out things that they used to preserve food that if people knew it, they wouldn't even eat the food in the first place, would they?
No. There were sulfites in steak. There were borates in beef. And there were, this is Cudahy. Cudahy packing had contaminations in their meats too, and large amounts of borates. So these things caused lots of trouble in the stomach. People would eat this, and they would be very upset in their stomach and couldn't understand why. Well, he was pointing out that you can't get rid of this, and then they didn't have running water to wash them off. So we were in an era where we had to evolve running water, and that was really important so you can clean these things up, and it's the fundamental thing today. Our clean water system is fundamental for our health and sanitation. And that's what he focused on.
And in the book, you'll see historical documents. It's a fascinating book. Besides the narrative in talking about the work of Edwin Fremont Ladd, you've got the documentation there that you can see the all of the supporting documents from back during that era. You mentioned legislation. He really was critical, wasn't he, crucial in getting legislation passed? And it's sort of the foundation of food laws today, I would think. That the foundation for that was laid by what your grandfather was able to do.
He got laws passed in North Dakota. He worked on that in the 1890s, and the laws began to be passed around 1900, 1901, and I guess they took effect around 1902 in North Dakota. That is not federal. This is strictly in the state. But very important, because then he began to look at cans and ship things back to the eastern canners, and they finally go to Washington and say, we got to have a federal law, and finally the Pure Food Act of 1906 was passed. He testified for that, and you get changes coming slowly, but it was not something that happened very fast.
And he was also responsible for analyzing popular food of the day, food that people ate on an ongoing basis, and then telling the people what exactly it was they were eating. This was crucial information, maybe even life-saving information for the public.
Absolutely. No one, unless you're a food chemist, and there were other chemists who were just plain chemists in industry who challenged him, because they couldn't understand that a food chemist looked so closely at the effect of food during the digestion process. And the tests he ran on this with groups of men, he would feed them foods, and then he'd follow their whole food process as the process food went through their body. And he learned and showed very clearly that these things were having an effect on the body. And lots of chemists challenged him, but he held firm, and he is responsible for the Act of 1906 being put in effect. And ultimately, though he had died in 25, he was in the Senate of the United States and was urging forward. But in the Senate, there were people like Lodge of Massachusetts Aldrich of New York. Aldrich represented the grocers, Cabot Lodge represented the fish industries, and they blocked many actions by him. So when he died in 25, they had done nothing in passing a Pure Food Drug Act. They waited until 27, And then they put in effect a law which was rather distorted, because they just didn't have a good chemist to advise them. And it all goes back to those two boys who had seniority and could block his efforts in the Senate.
Well, yeah, in the book you deal with, in the book is Pure Food Crusader, Edwin Fremont Ladd, chemist, 1859-1925, The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People. You talk about enforcement and opposition, and I guess maybe both of those go hand in hand. Let's talk about the enforcement aspect, and a few minutes left in the program. It's going by way too quickly, but from an enforcement standpoint, back then it was difficult because they were putting a whole enforcement structure in place. Is it any better now? Are we where we should be for 2019?
FDA has had a couple of very, very good commissioners. One has just resigned, and there's a new man coming in. But basically, I think they worked on issues that affect human health. They worked on tobacco issues, and they worked on the effect of some narcotics. But there hasn't been that much change on the enforcement on foods, because they're doing pretty well. They monitor it very carefully, and you have inspectors in the plants looking how food is processed. And I think basically our food business is very well taken care of.
And how about from an opposition standpoint? Opposition then, I'm assuming now, and maybe opposition's a strong word, but somebody who's watching very closely, the manufacturers, the industry. How difficult is that to deal with all of the lobbyists the food manufacturers have working for them?
Sure they do. It's perfectly logical. They'd like to cover their errors. But I honestly really think that the new processes on food, I look at them, I buy them, the microwavable things. I wonder sometimes, but I think basically, and I eat this stuff, it is very well done. I really have no complaints. I think they're doing a good job.
And you got to say, thank you, grandfather. You helped us lead us on the course to where we are today, where we can buy food and pop it in the microwave and feel safely about it. I said in the beginning, this historical work serves as a reminder that all aspects of the farming and food industry must be approached with the human life as the first concern. Do you see that as being sort of the leading principle of food today?
Oh, boy, and how? Yeah. We were using less and less of the they inject animals with antibiotics.
Yes.
And they're cutting back on this. They realize that this process goes on into the body of the human who eats it. And this has caused problems. And they're beginning to pay attention to this fact. So you have to watch very closely. Industry, I don't know, they do things sometimes that we challenge. But basically, I think we're doing pretty well, and we're going to correct errors where we spot them, because we write letters. I've just written a letter to another issue to another agency, but we citizens do speak out and tell agencies, do be careful.
Yeah, and I guess that's a powerful lobby in itself, because the public has a chance to vote every couple of years and more frequently with local elections involved. About a minute or so left. If your grandfather were around today, would he go, you know, we laid the nice foundation, we're doing okay? Or would he still be concerned that we really haven't done enough? I mean, here's a gentleman, no one had really done what he did before, and he blazed the trail of making food safe for all of us. What would he think of the food industry today?
Oh, boy. It is massively changed. It is, you see, we have trucking. Your crops are picked they go on a truck, they're in the cannery
yes.
almost the same day. There's just no deterioration, and the quality of the food that you get, if it's quick frozen, it's simply delicious. I really think that there are many processes. You're canning, you're freezing, and you're drying. When they freeze dry, and then you put boil it in water, and it is really a much different, totally different than it was in that era. We've made so many strides, and the food is, I think, essentially kept safe.
Well, it had to start somewhere, and you get that beginning, the Pure Food Law of 1906. So responsible for that was the subject of this book. The book is Pure Food Crusader, Edwin Fremont Ladd, Chemist, 1859-1925. The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People. His grandson is the author and our guest, Dr. Culver S. Ladd. The book is available at Amazon. You go to Amazon and you can find the book there, Pure Food Crusader. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Dr. Ladd's website, information on the book available at Amazon. It's a fascinating read, well-documented, a person that is so responsible. His work touches all of our lives, our families' lives, every day, all across the country. It's a fascinating story, Pure Food Crusader. Dr. Ladd, thank you so much for sharing the story with us on the program. I loved having the chance to talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for covering it. Very, very important. Thank you.
It has been our pleasure. The book, once again, Pure Food Crusader, Edwin Fremont Ladd, Chemist, 1859-1925, The Pure Food Crusade for Sanitation and Health of the Nation and Its People. The author, Dr. Culver S. Ladd. The book's available at Amazon, and you'll find it as well. A link at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.